From KTLO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Alaska's wildfire firefighting preparedness has been raised to the highest level, 5. According to a post by fire management agencies, the designation reflects the number of large fires being fought and the limited availability of firefighting resources. Going to preparedness level 5 enables more firefighting resources to be brought to Alaska from outside. Alaska currently has 157 active wildfires, 19 of which are being fought. The two largest responses are on the 23,000-acre Clear Fire near Anderson and the 20,000-acre Minto Lakes Fire north of Fairbanks, where air and ground suppression and point protection efforts continue and evacuation orders are in effect for threatened areas. Anchorage officials shut down the city's largest homeless shelter today after more than 2 years of housing hundreds of people there each night. It was an emotional morning for those who had to pack up and move out of the Sullivan Arena. Some headed for hotel rooms, but as Alaska Public Media's Alex Trinan reports, many grabbed a packaged breakfast and prepared to start camping outside.
Rose George is standing next to a pile of plastic totes on the steps of the Sullivan Arena early Thursday morning, writing on a pad of paper. It's a thank you note to the shelter staff. Leaving, she says, is bittersweet.
Honestly, it's a lot harder than I expected it to be. There's a lot of great staff and a lot of good people I met here, and a lot of memories and things that I learned that I'm going to take with me.
She says she's waiting on a taxi to take her to her new room at the Aviator Hotel, where dozens of Sullivan guests have moved over the past few weeks. But many others leaving the Sullivan on Thursday did not have an indoor place to go. There's not enough space at shelters or hotel rooms, so the city is busing people to a campground. Sean Shields says it feels like a betrayal.
He promised all these people housing or some way to get housing and not to be bussed out of sight, out of people, so can nobody see him. You know, that's not right.
The closure of the Sullivan marks a milestone in the city's plan to transition to permanent shelters after 2 years of its pandemic response. But the phase down has been riddled with accusations of poor planning and bad communication. Advocates say there simply weren't enough free rooms in the city, which forced dozens of people to camp in tents. The Bronson administration recently repurposed a campground in East Anchorage to give people who are homeless a legal place to stay. Shields says his only option is to head to that campground, but he worries about the weather and bears.
I'm from Georgia, so I've been learning how to camp, you know. But I can just imagine, you know, what happens when it rains? You know, what happens when the first person gets mauled? This isn't protecting anybody.
Shield says he can't work because of a brain injury caused by a stroke. But even those with jobs like Billy Jens of Utqiagvik say the city's tight housing market makes finding an apartment hard.
We did try other places like Craigslist for apartments, Airbnb, but they're just a little bit more expensive because the summer rates are crazy.
Jen says he's also headed to the repurposed campground called Centennial Campground. He's sitting on a curb behind the Sullivan Arena with his bag stacked nearby around 9 in the morning. He's waiting for a white health department bus to take him. Officials say they've moved more than 70 people from the Sullivan to Centennial since late last week. Tucked in thick spruce trees beside the Glen Highway, the campground usually charges $25 a night, but those fees were waived for homeless campers beginning a week before. By mid-morning on Thursday, staff and volunteers were setting up tents for new arrivals. Campground staff say the site was already above capacity around noon, so some tents were staked in a common area. The influx of people posed its own set of challenges. David Neuner says in the few days since he's arrived, he's seen black and brown bears with cubs, and says one even entered a neighbor's tent. Officials promised to hand out bear-proof food containers. Some campers had hung bags of food from trees to keep them away from bears. Some of the campers said being in the woods was comfortable. Having security patrols means that they don't have to worry about leaving their things. There's bathrooms and trash service. James Keel says he was a big fan of the hot showers.
I hadn't taken a shower in, six, 7 days, you know, before I'd gotten here, and so it was amazing just having a shower.
But others say they aren't happy here. Sitting at a nearby picnic bench next to a folding walker, Margaret Chicklack said her back and leg problems means getting to a grocery store or bus can be challenging, not to mention staying in a tent. It's hard for her to get up in the morning. She's only sleeping on a camping pad.
Being able to get up and down from the tent is, it's a struggle. And I cry every freaking day, you know? I can't move around a lot like a normal person can.
She says she has to rely on her fiancé to lift her up each morning and rely on volunteers to bring her food. She doesn't like depending on others, but without an apartment, she says it's her best option in Anchorage right now. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trinan.
Group that wants Juno to do away with the mandate to share real estate sale prices says it's turned in enough signatures to get the question in front of local voters in the fall. The group needed to collect the signatures of about 2,100 qualified voters. By the initial deadline, they turned in about 2,500, but city election officials disqualified several hundred because of incomplete forms or other reasons. The group came up a little bit short, but were given 10 extra days to collect more signatures. Ann Sparks is a local real estate agent working on the repeal effort. She says the group turned in more than 500 additional signatures on Monday.
We feel really confident that we will definitely have enough signatures. Now it's just to wait and see what the city decides, if they're going to let it go to ballot or if they want to go ahead and repeal it.
City election officials have until next Thursday to review the additional signatures and certify or reject the petition. If it's certified, the Juneau Assembly then has 30 days to go ahead and repeal the ordinances itself or forward the repeal question to the October local election ballot. The state reported 172 cases of COVID-19 in Juneau last week. That number does not include positive results from home tests. Statewide, there were more than 3,600 cases reported. That includes almost 600 cases at sea related to tourism. No new Alaska resident deaths were reported during this period. Statewide, 87 people with COVID-19 are in the hospital. None of them are on a ventilator. COVID-19 vaccinations are now available for anyone 6 months or older. Juneau Public Health offers vaccine clinics on Wednesdays and Fridays. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment. A cruise ship that struck an iceberg in Alaska has docked in Seattle for repairs. The Norwegian Sun hit part of an iceberg on Saturday near Hubbard Glacier in Alaska. The ship was turned around to Juneau, where it was inspected. Authorities cleared it to travel at lower speeds to Seattle. It arrived early this morning. Former state senator, Juneau mayor, and radio host Dennis Egan died on Tuesday at the age of 75. He was known for his fairness, gruff voice, and mischievous personality. He was well-liked by politicos, colleagues, and his radio listeners. A former House speaker called him the best curmudgeon around. I filed this remembrance about him.
He said, "Oh, God, it's you."
That's Jesse Keel doing a pretty good impression of his former boss's signature snarl. If Egan greeted you like that, Keel says that's how you knew he liked you.
If you ever walked into his office and he said, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. Please sit down. We have things to discuss." Panic, right? He put people at ease with that gruff manner.
Keel worked for Egan when he was a Democratic state senator representing Juneau, Haines, Skagway, and Gustavus from 2009 to 2018. Keel is also Egan's immediate successor in the seat. They were still in touch, talking political gossip most Tuesdays with a group of friends. Dennis Egan was born and raised in Juneau when Alaska was a territory. His father, Bill Egan, led Alaska's Constitutional Convention in the 1950s, and in 1959 became the new state's first governor. Dennis Egan would have been 11 years old when the family moved into the governor's mansion. He was a prolific mischief maker and prankster.
Sometimes those pranks turned out to be on the front doorstep of a sitting legislator, and then, boy, his father made him make the apologies quite formally.
Egan shared several stories about his childhood in the governor's mansion with Alaska's news source in 2017, including brewing beer in the basement and running a pirate radio station in the attic. Radio turned out to be a big part of Egan's life. In the 1960s, he went to Radio Operation Engineering School and graduated from an Army Communications School. He used his radio skills serving in the Alaska Army National Guard. In the private sector, Egan worked for KINY in Juneau, eventually becoming part owner of the station and its general manager. His gravelly voice became particularly well-known in the region after hosting Problem Corner for decades. That's the station's long-running live swap meet show.
Yeah, he was great at it. There's just no replacing Dennis Egan on that program.
Pete Caron is a retired news director for KINY. In 1989, Egan was elected to the Juneau Assembly. He became mayor in 1995 when then-mayor Byron Mallott resigned to lead the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation.
What was really amazing is when he served as mayor and he still managed the radio station, he would be forthcoming, accessible, and still make sure that the competition like you guys, the umpire, were treated equally too. I didn't get exclusive because he was the mayor.
In 2009, Egan was appointed to the state Senate after the Obama administration hired away Juneau's sitting senator. In one of Egan's last public speaking engagements as an elected official in 2018, he described his philosophy for getting things done in the often deadlocked Alaska legislature.
We have to be nice to everyone. We have to work with everyone, whether you're an R or a D or, you know, you have to get along or you don't get anything accomplished. Perfect example is $140 million for SLAM.
SLAM stands for State Libraries, Archives, and Museum, the facility in Juneau that was completed in 2016. Egan had worked for years to secure state funding for it.
You have to get along with people. That's the only way you have at least some opportunity of getting things accomplished.
At the time, Egan had announced his retirement from the Senate and joked that he could get away with saying whatever he wanted to his conservative-leaning crowd.
Oh, what can you do to me? Fire me? I love doing that.
Then he explained why he supported a statewide income tax and reducing permanent fund dividends to support state government. And in weather news, National Weather Service has a flood warning in effect for the Taku River area southeast of Juneau. Flooding is expected to be caused by a glacier-dammed lake outburst. Warning is in effect until 10 p.m. Friday. Other weather news, sustained dry weather has caused higher demands on the city and borough of Juneau's Mendenhall Valley Water Storage. The Engineering and Public Works Department is asking residents from Lemon Creek to Tea Harbor to be conscientious about their water use until further notice. This voluntary water conservation request should not significantly impact normal water usage activities. They only ask that residents turn off water when not in use and sparingly water their lawns and gardens. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, June 30th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.